You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. It is 6:06 right now. We hope that your Tuesday is off to a great start. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. If you want to get involved in the show, we'd love to have you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. A question for you this morning. Have you ever spent a lot of money and bought something that broke immediately? The frustration and anger that you feel is unparalleled. And yes, I am talking from experience because I just spent... Now, I had a Toro lawnmower that I inherited from my parents when they stopped cutting their grass. I picked it up from them in about 2006. At the end of last season...
How long had they had it, though?
They had had it about probably 10 years before that.
See, I only ask this question because that context is important in how things used to be made versus how they're made in 2026.
Oh, and that rears its head again, yes. All right. But this Toro went through everything because they had a big yard. I took it to various houses after that. It worked great. It always started on the first pull, first start of the season, prime that motor, boom. It was great. Then at the end of last year, I noticed it was using a lot of gas. And I was cutting the backyard like right near the end of the season. And I started it. I heard a pop and the whole thing burst into flames. Literally.
Oh my gosh.
On fire in the backyard.
Did you have to play firefighter, get the hose out there? Like, what did you do in that instance?
I stood there and
just watch it.
And I looked and I was like, wow. And I kept expecting it to blow up like a car in a movie.
Sure.
But it didn't.
Well, because it was using gas. There wasn't anything left in it.
I guess. Well, then I ran up and we didn't. After that, we bought fire extinguishers. At that point, we had no fire extinguishers. I ran up and got an old blanket out of the garage because the hose is way up.
Sure.
So I wouldn't have reached. So I go to start, you know,
right,
patting it out.
Yeah.
And the blanket's now on fire. And so it was, thankfully, my neighbor, now the guy with the horses, that Parker doesn't believe I have horses behind me. The guy with the horses sees me because I'm not saying anything. I'm just watching this thing burn.
Running
and now
around
I've got a
with
flaming
blankets
blanket,
on fire.
And, it's,
yeah.
And I'm just like, whoa. And I keep waiting for it to explode. He comes jumping over the fence with a fire extinguisher. All that being said, I needed a new lawnmower.
And a fire extinguisher.
Well, the fire extinguishers I bought right away.
Okay,
the lawnmower,
all right.
I said, well, it's winter. I'm done cutting the grass. So I buy a new Toro. I wait and I watch. And I pick out the one I want. And I go to the local Ace Hardware and I'm checking it out. I'm like, okay, well, it doesn't feel as sturdy as the old Toro.
Right.
That's fine. So they go on sale, Toro days start, and I get a little bit of a discount, but I still drop almost $600 on this lawnmower. The Ace Hardware, I got no beef. They delivered it for free, assembled it. It was great. I'm ready to go. I put the oil in, the gas. I test it the other day. Pardon me. I pull the first pull, it starts. I'm like, yes, this is sweet. Oh, and it's the recycler Max got the personal pace, so it'll go.
Ooh,
oh,
fancy,
yeah.
Fancy.
Sure. I decide Sunday I'm going to cut the grass. I got to get it done because the storms were coming yesterday, and it was time. 10 minutes into my job, the personal pace.
Oh, no.
Nothing. Now, I have two choices. I can either stop.
Sure.
Which always is the first to jump into my mind. Well, can't finish the grass now.
Time for a beer.
Right. But then I'm like, it's going to rain tomorrow. The grass in the back is already getting long. I'm going to do it. I had to push this dead weight lawnmower.
Oh, so it's like a 1955 mower now at this point because there's absolutely no steering, nothing on it,
there's
no self-propel.
Nothing helping me push it other than my you know, superior masculinity, which has broken down vastly over the years. And again, my lot is a hill in the back.
Oh.
So I'm trying to push this thing up the hill, and I'm trying to figure out ways to, you know, with geometry to go, how will I get the lawnmower, the centrifugal, the force to pull the lawnmower itself? And I'm cutting downhill, but at some point you do have to still go back uphill. Up.
Beer sounds easier at this point.
I get it all done. And I think I told Parker yesterday, I was so sore. My legs,
yeah.
Everything. Because I had been pushing this thing for over an hour.
You're
it
also tall. So you're also very tall. So then you have the height adjustment with the handles.
And Jamie, that's part of the expense. I bought one where the handle so the handle was nice and tall. I was set to make my lawnmowing as easy and pleasurable as possible. And I spent the money to do it.
Wow.
And I know you have spent money. You guys have spent money on things. 855-75-CIVIC. We would love to hear your tales of woe. But so yesterday I'm like, all right, I'm going to take it. I get in the car. I drive over to Ace. And the guy goes, oh, I'm really sorry that happened. You'll have to take it to a certified Toro dealer. But don't worry, we sent the warranty papers in, so it should all be under warranty. Well, now I finally get it there. The people were really nice. But to your point, Jamie, I said to the guy, I tell him my story of my old Toro and how happy I was with it. And he goes, yeah, they're not as good as they used to be. But he said they're still better than most lawnmowers out there. It's just they don't use cast iron frame decks anymore. Now it's steel. And I said, and everything feels like, he goes, yeah, that's just, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the way it goes. I'm like, oh.
It's disappointing.
And I hated to be that old man going, I don't wish I had an old lawnmower.
But there are certain things that you do wish you had, right? I think about things that my mom was a fantastic cook and baker when I was growing up. She was always making something in the kitchen, right? And so, and she used things that were obviously from like the 1970s, early 1980s, but those things worked so well when she was in the kitchen. And so Corey, being the great husband that he is, knows how much I dislike baking. I really don't like bake. I like to cook, but I don't like to bake.
It's two different skills. I do not bake either. Debbie and Molly bake. I cook.
I can. I just don't prefer to. I prefer to cook. And so I've got kind of a bad back. And so one day he was trying to help me out. And he went and he got one of those great big KitchenAid mixers for me, right?
Oh, they're
one
very
of those,
nice.
The very nice ones. You clamp the bowl in. It does everything for you. Hate the thing. I absolutely hate that thing. Because it doesn't mix anything in the bottom of the bowl. So I end up having to hand mix everything anyway, or getting out my trusty little like hand mixer, you know, like with the two little blades.
Yeah.
And I've reset that thing. I have done the dime thing where you turn the screw to get it lower. Still doesn't mix anything in the bottom, which completely defeats the entire purpose of the mixer.
Have you raised the bowl up to the mixer?
I've done it all.
The first time I used ours, I was like, it's not even reaching the bottom. And then I'm like, oh, this lever brings the bowl up
to
the bowl.
No, I've done that. Okay. I've done that. There's if you've got one of those, you know that there's this little screw that you take a penny or a screwdriver to and you twist it to lower your spatulas there's a whole thing with it. And I have done all of it and it still doesn't. So I still end up getting out my little hand one. And mixing everything in the bottom anyway, because it's the same concept, right? Like, it just doesn't do what it's supposed to do, and it's annoying. And then if I'm baking, and I'm already crabby that I'm baking, it's way easier to just get out the hand one and do it anyway myself.
Yeah. Rogers and Stevens points, he said, I had the sound go out on my first HD TV after a month. Shopko was very nice in exchanging it. If they stand behind, but there's just, like, if I go on the cheap and I buy something that I know is, if that breaks, okay. But when I make an investment in something,
you want it to last
and work.
Because
I know I'm going to have to, I'm going to have to use it all the time. I want it to work.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, and I always think those are interesting, because if you're going in to make that investment, just like you did, Brian, you painstakingly do all of the research. You do the due diligence. You read all of the reviews. And if you're like I am, you read hundreds of them to make sure that it's not just some weird anomaly, right? And you
right,
go through it.
Right, because you're dropping big money.
Yes.
You want to make sure you're doing it the right
way. You watch the sales. You're one of those people at that point who's getting out the old newspaper on Sunday. Who's got the best sale looking at pants?
I knew what lawnmower I was getting for months. I just kept waiting and waiting. And I was like, and I was researching when does Toro go on sale and blah, blah, blah. And I was ready. Pull
Toro
the trigger,
days
bang.
Marked on your calendar.
Yep. I was ready.
Oh, well, I hope it gets resolved soon. Our senior producer.
It's going to be over 2 weeks. The repair guy goes.
Oh, so they're like Donald Trump. 2 weeks?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well,
two
I
weeks.
Hope. I mean,
maybe
he did
through.
Have a million lawnmowers sitting out in front of the place, but
maybe Toro will come please. Through for you, though, this time. Our senior producer, Frank, jumping into the conversation. Item that you spent a lot on?
What's up, Frank?
It was my birthday. It was COVID. It was summer. Well, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to pull the trigger, and I'm going to get one of those new pellet smoker grills.
Mm-hmm. Those are nice.
I'm going to get into barbecue. That's what my COVID hobby is going to be.
Nice.
Nice.
So I bought one. I did a lot of research. So I buy this one. It ships.
We had nothing else
there.
To do. So research
yeah,
was.
There's
yeah,
there's no assembly required. I'm like, hell yeah. Dump the pellets in. Plug it in. Press the power button. My wife's out there with me. We're like, all right. Excited.
Here we go.
And it has the digital thermometer. And I set it to like 250. I think it's the standard setting for smoking. And it goes 80, 90, 100, jumps to 200, jumps to 300,
oh, wait,
450, 500. Now, with these, so I did my research.
Sure
I was
did.
Like, wow, this one has a great safety feature. If it gets up to 600 degrees, it has an emergency shutoff. Now you're probably
famous last words.
Now you're probably thinking, did this thing really heat up to 600 degrees in seconds? No. I don't think it even reached 100 degrees, but the internal thermometer said, it's 600, time to shut off now. So I submitted my complaint because it's unusable.
Yes.
It's brand new. And I get a phone call and I answer it and it's the owner of the company.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Asking to troubleshoot what is going on with it.
Dude, just send me a new one.
He goes, yeah, I don't know what's going on. So it's probably your probe thermometer. So I'm going to send you a new one and I'm going to send you a link to a private YouTube video.
So you have to install it yourself?
How to install a new probe thermometer.
Dude,
so
shouldn't
I'm
you do
out
that
there.
For me?
Correct. Just send me a new unit.
Oh my gosh.
So now the whole neighborhood has to hear me cursing at this thing as I'm trying to take out little screws and whatnot. And to this day, it still doesn't work fully properly. So I'll probably get a new grill this summer. See, Brian.
Oh, I know I was not alone.
You're not alone.
No.
This is everybody's had this problem. Well, the Republicans are going to have a problem this week because there is a lot going on, and we'll get to it. It is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It is 6:19 right now. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
6:22 right now. Good morning and thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. I am Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. So who do you hold responsible for the DHS funding standoff? We want to get your opinion, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. The reason we ask this is because, guess what? I know when Congress went on their Easter break, they were supposed to come back and get this all settled, Jamie, because...
That's what we were told.
Well, we remember, too, that the Senate in a bipartisan move right before the Easter holiday, sent a proposal that they had voted on and approved over to the House, where Mike Johnson would not even call the measure to the floor. So
yeah,
I think you could tell where my answer is on this. But we're coming up to this point because if you remember, then the president said that they could use some emergency funding. Mm-hmm. Well, that emergency funding, and we reported on this last week, the new DHS Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen said, we're just about out of that money because I got a big payroll every month and it's not holding out. Well, at the end of this week, federal workers, including U.S. Secret Service agents, you know, the ones not only who protected the president, but who somehow really are lax on security lately, they're getting ready to miss
another
paycheck.
Maybe this is why. Maybe this is why. This could explain a lot about what happened over the weekend.
Now who's a conspiracy maniac? Yesterday I was all in on a conspiracy. Today, wow, you think the Secret Service is burning? At least not the guys with the machine guns who jumped out on the stage. Maybe the ones who are, you know, a little lower down the ladder.
Yes.
And we're just standing outside in the lobby, you know, cruising chicks and manning the security detail. Anyway, the Republicans are back in D.C. They came back yesterday. Now they've got a lot of big votes coming up this week. The most important is this DHS funding. They've got a lot of must-pass bills that still don't have the votes to pass in the narrowly divided House, which is becoming more and more narrowly divided if you listen to even Republicans now starting to break ranks. It appears that there are, and this is just an outsider's opinion, there appear to be some cracks in the dam that was holding back everything, but that seems to be changing. And, the funding one is the big deal this week. Jamie, it's 72 days that DHS has been shut down. Now, I think it's important to remind folks that this is all over ICE.
Yes.
It's all over some things that the Democrats have asked for, like no masks, better training, identification being worn on the officers, those kind of things. And another important part, ICE was already funded in the Big Beautiful Bill. ICE is good to go. ICE has the money.
They do
have everybody else.
They're essentially asking for more, is essentially what they're doing. Right. But most of the Department of Homeland Security under Mark Wayne Mullen is essentially out of money. I mean, and we're talking about TSA, which I just flew last week. Not a pleasurable experience going through airports right now.
Did the TSA agents seem especially grumpy? At least they were being paid when you were. When you flew, they were at least getting paid.
And I know that the protocols have changed when you go through TSA and you still have to take out, you know, all of the devices and you have to put them in their little bins. You put the carry-ons up there. One of the things that I was, I guess, most shocked about, and it, I suppose it depends on what airport, we didn't have to take shoes off. And I get you go through that little booth, you put your hands up, you know, they can scan everything. Yeah. They weren't making anybody take any shoes off or anything this go around of traveling.
I thought that stopped a while ago with the shoes.
A year ago, the last time, we've traveled a lot, but the last time I flew was about a year ago. They were still making us take shoes off about a year ago, but this time around, they were like, no, just leave them on. It's fine. We'll scan it. So I was like,
okay. And all that started with that one dude,
who carried like a bomb in his shoe or something. Yeah. But this is also talking about FEMA, and here in the state of Wisconsin, we've had a wee bit of flooding. We're probably going to need some help from the federal government for some cleanup. So there's a bunch that goes into this. Coast Guards, you think about the Great Lakes region that has Coast Guards, but $10 billion of a rainy day fund is what they had. And as you rightly pointed out, they've gone through that. They don't have enough money to make another payroll. Now, what I thought was interesting is Mike Johnson has been very adamant. He's been talking a lot over the last few days about who is to blame for this shutdown, and he has no intentions of bringing this bill in its current form to the floor. He went on Newsmax yesterday, and he had more to say about he had more to say about who's responsible for this shutdown, Parker.
They have full-on Trump derangement syndrome, okay? And it informs how they see the world and how they react and how irresponsible they are now is on full display for the whole country. I hope voters remember this in the fall. You got to keep the grown-ups in charge, and that's the Republicans.
Really? Because it seems like the Republicans have been the ones stalling this, stalemating this, the ones who have allowed the Republican president to dictate who is what bill is going to come forth to the floor, and has all, have also been the ones to make sure that any provisions that the Democrats want added into this for ICE absolutely didn't get added in. And now they're the ones who are basically showing the cracks in the armor as to how this is going to get through and pass so that there is funding for DHS.
Mike Johnson has never met a spine that he would insert in his own body. He is the most worthless speaker when it comes to doing anything outside of what the president is telling him to do. The other thing is they want SAVE Act things put in.
Yes.
And John Thune had told them, we don't have the votes in the Senate. The SAVE Act is dead. It's not happening. You're going to just have to take your chances at the polls like every other year and let people vote. But Mike Johnson, because he is to take a turn from Elizabeth Warren, who used it in Robert F. Kennedy's Senate hearing last week, he is Donald Trump's sock puppet. Mm-hmm. He will do whatever Trump says. To not even bring that bill, if you think it's so bad and you have the people who will back it, you have the majority. Bring the vote.
Yeah.
But you're afraid that your own people will jump ship, and that's going to show even more cracks. That's why he won't do it. It's not the grown-ups. If it's the grown-ups in charge, it's the abusive grown-ups who used to beat you as a kid.
Lake Superior to Lake Michigan. This is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:35 right now. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is the Civic Media Network. If you're listening in Madison on WMDX or Wausau on WXCO or in La Crosse on WLCX, we are certainly glad that you decided to join us today. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Glad you're with us. 855-75-CIVIC is how you get involved in the program. Did you know that Wisconsin water is very polluted, Jamie? The waterways are not doing well in a state that is very heavily, with all the other things that Wisconsin has going for it, nature and tourism around that nature is a big deal. Well, Wisconsin is home to 86,000 miles of rivers and streams, 17,000 lakes, and 5 million acres of wetlands. That'll be on the test, so I hope you were taking notes.
Pop quiz.
So we're in the middle, Wisconsin is, of a pack of national... we're in the middle of the pack as far as ratings go for toxic releases per square mile. Now, that's a table that you don't want to be leading. You want to be... I want to fail that. I want to go... Well, I don't want to fail it. I want to be at the bottom of the list.
Right.
When they're going toxic states, oh, you're like 48, 49, 50. That would be good.
Love
well,
that.
Yeah, the Environmental Protection Agency said about 18% of Wisconsin waterways are polluted, and a quarter of those waterways are on a restoration plan. That, according to a 2024 Department of Natural Resources report, and nearly half of the state's polluted waterways are impaired by phosphorus and other excess nutrients. It's a I didn't know about phosphorus. I know what phosphorus is, but I didn't know if it was a naturally occurring thing that is required for life, but too much can lead to algae blooms harmful to water ecosystems.
This is
science, folks.
It is science. And I'll be honest, I learned a lot about phosphorus at our last home because we lived on it was a man-made lake. It was like a stock dam, essentially, is what it was. But some guy decided to make it and name it after his wife. So it was Lake Virginia. I called it Goose Poop Pond because of all the goose poop that floated on it. However, it was a beautiful area. Let me just be clear. In Sauk County, it was gorgeous. However, there is nothing I would have ever done in or near that water because I would have been afraid of growing a third arm or a third eyeball or something. And I had to learn a lot about phosphorus because there was so much runoff from the area farms that we had algae blooms. I mean, the first warm day of the year, you just knew it was coming. And there was a certain smell about it as well, just because of all that was in that particular water. It was
awful. Is that rotten egg smell I've heard of?
Yes.
I've never experienced
it.
Phosphorus has that rotten egg smell, right?
It's horrible. And it's a very distinct smell. And you, no matter where you were at on the lake, you knew that this was the time of year. And in fact, this year we moved off of the lake last spring into Madison. And this summer they're draining the entire thing. Essentially to clean it up. It is so bad, and it has gotten so bad. And because it's a little man-made lake, apparently it was going to be an easy process. I don't know how easy it is to drain an entire lake.
When you say little, how, like, swimming pool size? Or
no, it's a little bigger than that. I don't even know what the square mileage or anything of it was.
You could see across it,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, you could see across it. You could walk across it. I mean, walk around it pretty easily.
Wow, easy Jesus.
you could walk around it, I should say, pretty easily. So it only took maybe about an hour to do so if you really, wanted. So it wasn't a big lake, but I can't imagine the process of draining it is easy either. Yeah. But the phosphorus got so bad that was the next step, is they had to essentially drain it to restart it because of the algae bloom that it had each and every year. So I got a little bit more familiar with phosphorus just living out there and DNR knocking on our door every spring to tell us, please don't go near the water because the algae bloom's at its peak right now. Got it.
Well, so I guess there's phosphorus in 65% of all the projects. There's also big algae things. Aquatic plants, they're checking 10 for E. coli, 9 for PFAS, 7 for access algae again, and 4 for, what are suspended solids?
I don't know.
Goose poop?
It might be. So if you know what a suspended solid is, because you've had experience and you maybe lived on a lake, give us a call this morning. Teach us something. 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. I mean,
where is it now? Chloride has to be coming because one is being fixed for chloride. That's got to be runoff from some farm chemicals, wouldn't you think?
I would think so.
Unless there's a pool manufacturer nearby.
I would think so. It's got to be. I mean, and that's the hard part about being an agricultural state. We love our farming culture here.
Yeah.
We love our farmers. We love the fact that
and they have to use fertilizer. We get that.
They do. And they're the backbone of what we do economically, as far as even our culture, our roots in the state of Wisconsin. Yeah, sometimes, though, the chemicals that they use to make sure that they can do their jobs takes its toll. Not to mention the fact that we do have a lot of manufacturing in this state as well,
yes,
right?
We do.
So that also takes its toll on our waterways. So there's a multitude of reasons, but I mean, this isn't a great report for the state of Wisconsin.
No, it's not. And they do this. The DNR does this twice a year. So then they go around. Well, here, I guess people are thinking, well, do I live near some of that polluted water? Probably. There's a good chance
if you're in
the state. The Fox River has 20 different sections on high priority restoration plans. And once these area waterways are designated as needing restoration and the pollution is identified, then they can start working to implement new standards. But this is not a quick fix. It's not like your hot tub where you could just drop a couple tablets in there and everything is sanitized.
Yeah.
You know.
And I guess you look at what the state is facing, or at least I do. And I think about the fact that what is in our water systems is a very important part of life here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So I understand that. But then you look at the fact that besides the algae bloom, you get the murky water that it makes it a little difficult to want to swim in or recreate in. You've also got the fact that it's going to kill a lot of fish species, depending on what it is. You get beaches that close, and that's nothing new. That happens all the time across the country. But I think at some point you have to also look at how this affects some communities directly. Like you mentioned the Fox River. You look at Green Bay, right? There's a lot of recreation. There's a lot of income that's also attached to our bodies of water in the state of Wisconsin. And I don't know. I'm not really a lake person for this reason. I'll be honest.
It's scary. Oh, Potter Lake. Potter Lake was actually in Walworth County, was the first one. to be added to the first lake to be added to this list. Just a couple others: Sugar Creek,
yeah,
Phantom Lake above Powder Lake and Lake Beulah. Mm-hmm. So that got Walworth County has a number of these things, unfortunately. Lake Beulah is on there, Button Creek, the Des Plaines River, starting that's down near Racine and Kenosha. It goes into Illinois. It's the whole thing. So, but yeah, to your point, I am not a lake guy either. I would rather, like, the ocean doesn't bother me.
Right.
But lakes, there's all that stuff growing in there. And it's, I know, like, people are laughing at me now, and that's okay. My wife's aunt and uncle have a beautiful home on a lake in Michigan. And it's a good-sized lake. There's mm-hmm. So they have boats and things, and you go out there. And when I'm out away from, like, on the boat, or I'm tubing or something, or riding the jet ski, it's fine. I don't mind. It's like, I'm not afraid of it, but I don't want to wade in because
right.
like right by the dock or by the shore, there's all these things and it's like, yeah.
But I mean, but you have to think about that too. Those things also, the recreation that also helps grow these economies in these cities because of the water.
It's
also
contributing to all the, yes.
It is. So it becomes this big problem and we don't want to give those things up because they are enjoyable, you know, when it's 100 degrees in the middle of July.
We should just kayak and canoe, nothing with a motor. Let's go back.
And there are a lot
ways.
Of lakes. Devil Lake, for instance, near Baraboo is a no motor lake. You can do battery powered, but you can't do any
really?
Sort of gas engine or gas powered in that particular lake. So it does stay a little bit more pristine. Now, I will say that with that being said, Devil's Lake for me is a very easy lake to be in if you do want to go in the water because it is a lot clearer than other lakes that I have seen because they do take very, very good care of the quality at Devil's Lake. Now, I don't know what they would show up on this report. That might change my mind depending on what it was.
They haven't ended up on the high priority
there
list
we go.
So far.
That's good.
So that's good. The other, like, I just don't like the, I don't know, on my feet. I like going in, like sand. I'll walk in mm-hmm. sand on the beach. That's fine. A pool's nice. That's concrete. I don't mind that at all. I don't know what's lurking. Could be a barracuda in those weeds. I don't know what's in there.
I got to tell you, one of the things that I think bothers me the most about lakes, and I know it's one of the natural parts of a lake, is when you walk in and it's a very mossy bottomed lake and you squish
yes.
right away. That for some reason is a weird feeling to me. I don't like the squish. And even if you wear the water shoes, which I do, because you never yes. want to step on anything sharp or anything either. I do wear the water shoes, but at the same, you still feel that squish or it gets tangled around your feet. And
yep.
then it just becomes weird to me. And it's very difficult.
No,
now,
the lake is trying to drag you into its depths. I'm not playing that game. A pool has never tried to drag me under.
No.
The lake.
I don't know. Alicia chiming in over on our YouTube chat this morning says that she lives about a mile from the Fox River. We don't eat the fish from the Fox River. Obviously,
well,
we learned that they're a high priority on
Well,
on
yeah,
this
they
list.
Have. They There's 20 sections of the river. That's the most of any large body of water in Wisconsin. Seven of the streams have high levels of phosphorus and suspended solids. Once again, those suspended
yeah.
solids.
Yeah.
Rearing their ugly heads.
One of the things I think about, too, when we talk about this report is home value, because there are so many people in the state of Wisconsin mm-hmm. that make their homes on these lakes because of the beauty, the recreation of it all. But if we start having a decline in the water quality, is that going to also start affecting home prices on those lakes? And does it decrease value for any of those homes in any sort of way if these lakes or these waterways become even higher on this particular list? I don't know if that correlates at all.
Well, it's an interesting conundrum because nobody wants to live on water that you can't use.
Right.
But if you're not drinking it or eating the fish, theoretically you could still go boating on there.
Sure.
Which would be all right. I don't know if it gets so polluted that you don't even, you know, want to get splashed
right.
getting pulled
right.
out of a tube or a jet ski. That's bad business. And I wonder, it'll be interesting to follow this. How long these projects take, what
right.
what they have to do. If it's 5 years, then no. It's not going to change the home value.
I know on our little tiny lake, there was a process why we lived out there. And every year there was a cleaning process that they underwent. They had dredgers that would come out and they would try to clean the water. And within about a week or two, it looked like they hadn't even been there.
Where was that feeding from if it was a man-made lake? Where,
I don't where, know.
Not somebody's hose, right?
I don't know exactly all of how that lake operated. It was dammed up, and I tried not to learn much about it other
that's
than the fact. Sometimes it's just better not to know.
Now, Andrew says some of the homeowners are the problem because they overuse fertilizer on their lawns. That's probably true. Andrew, listening on WMDX. Thank you for being here. All right, when we come back, you saw this guy at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, one of the few humorous parts. Who was he? We'll tell you after this on Daybreak on the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Fairly solid. Better than expected. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. A little bit cooler today as far as temperatures go. Some clouds sticking around as well. Looks like it's going to be a little cooler week than we've actually seen. No
yeah.
80s. No 80s this week.
No 80s, but I'm pleasant.
I'm good with it, though. There's going to be some sunshine eventually this week around the state,
yeah.
So I'm good with it. It's too
early. I'm happy
early.
That the rain is the rain has passed the storms. Man, they ripped through Milwaukee last night.
Yeah.
The pictures coming out of there, all the people without power, and the trees uprooted, and it was bad. So hopefully everybody's safe in that area. It was so I'm happy that the rain is taking a little break.
We need it. We need to dry out a little bit in several portions of the state. So
yeah, I mean, later in the year we're gonna be in the opposite problem where we're saying, oh, it's, you know, we need a little more rain for the crops and everything else, but we need to dry out.
So much of the country is under a drought right now as well, and that has been absolutely the opposite problem we've had throughout the state of Wisconsin, except in portions of the north. Lot of portions of the Northwoods are having drought-like conditions, so I know that they've been impacted in that area. They definitely don't have the moisture that some of the central and southern parts of the state have gotten. So weather's a crazy thing. Mother Nature is fickle.
Nobody, we cannot, it's one of the things we can't control, and we don't like not being in control.
Right.
So we all saw what happened Saturday night at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Very tragic event. Thankfully, everybody was okay. The one Secret Service agent who was shot is doing all right. He thankfully was hit in the vest.
Mm-hmm.
The perpetrator has been arrested. We're finding out more, and we have more in the news after the top of the hour about this guy. But there were a couple of funny things that came out of it. Once you knew that everybody was okay in the melee, the one I really loved is the woman who was taking full bottles of champagne.
Yes.
They're trying to evacuate the room because there could be, maybe there's more shooters. It could be horrifying. You know what? I'm going to grab a couple of these.
I like
and
how she ski thinks.
Dettle. Yeah, it's like, okay. I emceed a big gala on Saturday. And at the end of the night, there were some tables that had bottles of wine on them that had not been opened. So my lovely wife brought one home. So that woman cracked me up as she grabbing the champagne.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, listen, tomorrow morning over mimosas, I am going to regale you with the story of how tonight unfolded. It will be fantastic. But the other guy, who I'd been dying to know his story, who sat at the table and continued to eat his salad as if nothing were going on, as if this was, he had been waiting for this meal since last year's event, and come hell or high water, he was having his meal.
Do you think it's standard gala food that you get at the White House Correspondents' Dinner? Because let's be clear, gala food is not always that great. Chicken's always a little dry. The steak's always a little overcooked. Wondering, is it better at the White House Correspondents' Dinner than other galas I've been to?
I would imagine because the president is eating it. Normally, this was the first time President Trump has been there since he's been president.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. So I'm guessing maybe it was good. Well, this guy is sitting there, and he's an older gentleman. And part of me is like, this guy is an OG. He is not, he's been through gunfire before. He knows what a threat is. He's like, threats.
Just awesome.
Threats. I covered the 68 convention. This is nothing. I'm just going to relax. His name is Michael Glantz. And he is an agent for, not for the CIA or some, not MI6. He's not trained. He's trained in battle, but it's for creative artist agencies. He's Wolf Blitzer's agent. And he's everybody at his table is gone.
Yeah.
He's like eyeing other people's roles. He's like, I don't know about that. So anyway, he's seen there just sitting calmly eating a salad, relaxed. Yeah, he doesn't, not a care in the world. He's not wolfing it down like, I got to get this in before. He had no intention of leaving.
No, he was enjoying every last piece of that lettuce and every crouton on that salad.
This is Green Goddess. You don't get Green Goddess dressing very often.
It's one of the best, out of all of the horrific moments and all of the things that we saw come out of that motel on Saturday, this is one of the best moments. And I think it's hilarious because obviously Wolf Blitzer, you know, from CNN, CNN had to comment on this, and their own media analyst, Brian Stelter, identified him from a clip on social media, described him as what a super agent. And then, of course, TMZ, who's now in Washington, D.C., had to talk to the guy, and he said he just felt safe in the room because there was a large police presence. He didn't feel like he needed to hurry and get out of there.
Well, he was right up by the dais, so there were a lot of guys with machine guns right behind him, so if anybody had come for that salad, one of the waiters had tried to clear the table, it was not happening.
He didn't have to slap somebody's hand with his fork. He had guys with machine guns.
I am not done.
Wow.
Yeah, so he was there. Now, Wolf, you know, Wolf took a more professional tone. Wolf was on the air. He said it was scary. It was loud. The cops got on top of him and then got on top to protect me.
Like, yeah.
Really, Wolf? You got cops piling on top of you? Because, I mean, I like Wolf Blitzer.
Sure.
I don't know if he deserves, you know, a police pile to protect him from the one gunman who was already subdued.
I think what I found most incredible about this moment is just the different stances of things that were happening in that room, because there's chaos all around Salad Guy, right? There's all of this chaos. People are running. People are taking cover. There's people with machine guns. And
the First Lady is under the table. Everybody's running.
And then you just have this gentleman at this table just nonchalantly enjoying every ounce of his shredded carrots and cheese and his salad dressing, and he was just okay in that moment. And I think that's what struck me most when I saw it.
Yeah.
Is you don't see images like that very often. But
I aspire to be that calm in a crisis. I want something to be happening and they go, yeah, I'll have the chopped Caesar. Bring it over, please. It'll all be fine. Everything's going to be fine. On the other side of the news, we are going to have headlines and so much more in the second hour. Don't forget, you can always download the free Civic Media app, and you can go to YouTube or our Facebook page and watch the stream. This is the Civic Media.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.